This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Monday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. Cannot wait for this, 4 days. I was going to say this week, but the next 4 days.
4 days.
Monday to Thursday here. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, and Greg Peterson going to join us. We get some awesome baseball insight from him, but more importantly, what's going on outside of just his handicapping world, because I know the world wants to know.
I want to know more about these running challenges, that's for sure. When I fired open a video, Matt, and saw the man running around 12 miles in his apartment, yeah, I've got questions.
We're going to get that. We're going to get some Texas Roadhouse takes from him. We're going to get all that from Greg Peterson here today. Tom Byrne going to join us. I'm sure he has thoughts on everything NBA, but this little thing that happened with LeBron James, I'm sure he's got some thoughts on that as well. Adam Burke going to come in here. Sit down with us for a couple of segments. We'll talk all things with him, not only baseball, but some football, maybe even some college football. We got all things with Adam Burke. Adam Burke, a man of many skills.
Mm-hmm. He sure is. Baseball, football. We've got what? Update to the NFL guide coming out soon. College football guide coming out. What, next week? Yeah, soon.
I got to go in and change my stuff. They sent it out, and then I just went in and I just wrote LSU straight down the entire thing.
Yeah, see, this is where Adam just finally took me off the list.
Yeah, I just went in and wrote LSU down straight the thing. Like, winner of the MAC, LSU. Doesn't matter. Big 12, LSU. So I just went in and I was like, I need to change that. Hopefully that doesn't get printed. But listen, if we don't bring anything to the table today, we are bringing some good hair today. I'll tell you what. If you don't like the takes, you can like the hair.
Mm-hmm.
Come in on the video side of things, that's for sure. But Major League Baseball saw some interesting stuff last night. The Brewers 11-2 winners over the Rockies, but that was actually not the real story in that game. The Miz, he throws the ball at a rapid rate of speed, and it's very hard to hit. And so when he does that, at the level that he was doing it yesterday, 12 of the first 13 batters get retired via strikeout. The first 7 of the game get retired via strikeout by the Miz. We were going through and looking at the pitch log, and it's just basically like 103, 104, 103, 103, sit down, kid. What he was doing to this Rockies team. And, listen, you look around, we have all of these guys that are kind of at the top of the Cy Young odds boards having put up awesome games lately. Dylan Cease just the day before had put up an awesome game. You're starting to see some of these guys really start to separate themselves, and the market being incredibly reactionary as well. So it's like, oh, good game. Boom. This guy moves to like an odds on favorite. The guy comes back and counters. Boom, we're back to about even odds with all of these things. So we're gonna have a fun little race here towards the end.
I was gonna say, I think for the next few days of you and I talking about it, I would not expect it to change, right? You're talking about how reactionary it's been, and I think reactionary the right word. I don't even know if I'd go over reactionary. Like, I think we are getting close enough to the end of the season. Every one of these starts matters so much, and there's been what, health questions out there. Miz has that great outing yesterday, and he's back out to -300 in the NL Cy Young. So maybe your time to buy on a bit of a dip for Miz might have just left you.
Yeah, and if you have any questions whatsoever about whether he's going to be available enough to get this done, well, now might be your chance. I mean, you are getting 750 on Wheeler, 850 on Sanchez, 9-1 on Sale. Chase Burns goes today, so if you want to get in front of maybe a good start for him, that's 20-1 on him. But the only thing that we do know with Miz, I mean, he does get pulled yesterday after 83 pitches, and they have said they are going to try and do some sort of innings reduction for him, some sort of pitch count, some sort of something to make sure that he is fresh. You're talking about a team here in the Brewers that now has shifted their focus of, I think we can be pretty good this year. And to the, I think we can win this division too. They think they're going to win the World Series. They think they can compete with the Dodgers with this rotation that they've got. And they've got to make sure that the Miz is healthy. And so if you believe that that's going to do enough to sway these voters to not give it to him, if down the stretch they're only letting him go 4 and 5 innings in these starts or something, well, again, now might be your chance to get in.
Yeah, and how much do the Dodgers and Brewers just pull away, right, from the rest of the NL? You get these figured out, and there's not as much pressure to go out there and roll everybody out every single day. So I think that's going to be all interesting down the stretch.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that one for sure. But like you said, out to -300 over at DraftKings, and some pretty decent numbers on some really good pitchers out there in Major League Baseball. The Marlins franchise record 12 losses in a row for this Marlins team that was in the thick of the wild card race. I mean, the absolute thick of it. One of the cool, fun little stories that we had in baseball. 12 games later, 12 losses later, you go, oh man, I thought that they were going to be able to hold on. They are not. And now this Marlins team is just floundering. The franchise record 12 straight.
So Gil and I started talking about this last week. Obviously, this on the Red Sox winning streak last week. It was kind of going over the longest and shortest streaks for each team, which kind of surprised me with some of these teams that have been around forever that we'd only gotten to 15 with the Red Sox. Marlins history, obviously much shorter, Matt, but like, they've been bad. I'm kind of surprised. This is the longest streak that the Marlins have ever had.
Yeah, I know. I was a little shocked too, but then they also have had those spike seasons, right? So it's kind of like, it's not like they were this franchise that's always been downtrodden. It's kind of like they would always kind of go up and down and up and down.
And even in season, right? Yeah. In seasons, they go up and down, as you're seeing right now.
Yeah, and so it's just interesting to see that this team, 12 in a row, was in fact the record, and unfortunately for the team, like I said, right in the middle. If you were a Marlins fan, you probably were not expecting this at all. Right in the middle of that wild card race, and now that is just looking very, very bleak. If you do look over on the NL side of things, they are way down now, three games trailing, and that's three games trailing a whole bunch of other teams that are playing much better than they are. So it can be turned around for sure, but anytime you lose 12 in a row, not a good sign there. The Rays 1-0, get it done over the Guardians, and this is basically more of a, while this Rays team continues to win, in crazy fashion, a 1-0 game yesterday over the Guardians, a one-hitter against the Guardians, I might add, on that. And you look up, 62-43 for the Tampa Bay Rays, leading that division handily now. And even though everybody coming in was always like, yeah, the Rays always figure out something else. Yeah, you know, they always figure out how to get it done. There is nobody. And you can tweet at me if you can prove to me that you had the Rays at 62-43 at this point in the season ahead of all of these other teams in the AL East. And they just, like I said, they just continue to find ways to get it done. And yesterday, it happened to be with the pitching. They only needed one run because the Guardians only got one hit.
Long-term, what is your, how much do you believe in this team, both regular season and postseason?
Well, the thing is I don't think they are a team that can be incredibly active at the deadline, right? I mean, they don't have a ton of pieces to get rid of, and they don't have a bunch of guys in the farm system that's going to bring a big haul. Now, they'll probably be, and we'll talk about a trade that happened over the weekend as well, there'll probably be some little middling stuff go on, you know, but I don't think they can do anything that's going to make a splash. And look, they're proving it. They're proving me wrong. They're proving everybody wrong as it is on a daily basis anyway. Not to say that they can't get through it, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to really outpace some of these guys that are going to be spenders, including the Red Sox, who win yesterday 6-1. So now they are four games over 500. They are 1.5 games clear in the wild card hunt now after this incredible streak that they have gone on. They make a trade and go out and bring in a right-handed bat in Curtis Meade from the Nationals, once a top 30 prospect actually in all of baseball, Curtis Meade, if you are a prospect head, you know, from way back or whatever, kind of fell in hard times. Resurgent season this year for this Nationals team, and you bring in a right-handed bat. He's a pull-heavy right-handed bat to take advantage of the wall out there in left field, Kelly. And so now you add something, because one thing the Red Sox, if you look at this streak, even though they've had this streak and as well as they have done, it's basically been on their arms. They're still 25th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. The pitching, the bullpen has been getting it done for them, not necessarily them knocking the cover off of the ball. So they needed to make an impact bat. They say they're going to be aggressive at the deadline, so there still might be moves to come. But you go out, you get a guy who's a pull-heavy, right-handed bat, having a career season for him, apparently going to slot in at second base for this Red Sox team, and probably bat right there in the heart of that lineup, probably fifth or sixth, something like that.
Yeah, that's a big ad for them, and obviously a very different team from like the Marlins, right, from just a month or two ago. And for anybody out there, I know who has been keeping track of Gil's July most wins bet, if you've got it yourself, Red Sox at 17 for the month, Brewers at 14, so looking pretty good.
Looking pretty well, especially considering they get the A's.
That's right.
Yeah, the A's have fallen on hard times. You don't talk about a team that's fallen on hard times. The A's have definitely fallen on hard times. A very interesting week here for the Detroit Tigers. They lose again yesterday to the Royals, so two losses in a row has them fall back to 50-56, Kelly. And so there might have never been a week in the history of a franchise that wasn't like the week leading, that wasn't a playoff week, that decides the future of how they are going to go more than what's going to happen to the Detroit Tigers team this week. Now, if they're able to win three or four games this week, maybe they decide, you know what, we can go after this division. You lose two more in a row, and now this whole Tarik Skubal thing becomes real yet again. I mean, this is absolutely fascinating because as poor as this division is, a couple of wins for the Tigers, they might sit in that room, and me and you are looking at each other going, maybe we might can win this division.
Yeah.
We can't get rid of this guy. Two more losses, they're sitting there going, man, we got to get rid of this guy. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy what this week is going to do for the future of the Tigers.
Do you really think, though, that throughout this whole process, like, there's not more going on than we're aware of? Like, is Skubal really, like, holding them hostage like this to a degree?
I think for...
Like, is there a certain... It'd be hilarious if he had, like, the cocktail napkin slide. Like, you must hit this many wins. Like, we must be this far back.
Yeah, I think if you're the Tigers, you have to sit and you have to look at this and realize... This has been a complete disaster with Framber Valdez. So he has been absolutely horrific. Can we really win a World Series this year? And if we think we can, then you got to hold on to Skubal and understand you probably lose him at the end of the year. If you come to the realization, there's no way we can get this done. You can't get nothing from the guy. You got to get something back. So again, like I said, it's going to be very interesting. This week is going to shape the future of a franchise off of a few games.
How long ago did AJ Hinch say they were every game was like a game seven?
The atmosphere's
got to be a little nutty in there.
We got some NFL news to hit. There's some craziness coming on out there. Could one of the all-time greats actually be coming back to play with the current great on the defensive line? That's a super interesting story. And still some more baseball to talk. And oh yeah, there was a golf tournament as well. Just getting started here on A Numbers Game on a Monday.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
The numbers told the story, they have to.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two, Numbers Game here on a Monday. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin alongside. And Kelly, this is coming through now on Front Office Sports Twitter machine. The 76ers are expected to receive 34 national TV showcases this season, which is the most allowed under the NBA's current rights deal. So they can't even put them on TV anymore than they are. Oh, 34 different times for Philly this season.
I feel like I was one of the few that was kind of applauding Adam Silver for just coming out and saying the obvious thing of like, hey, we need LeBron to figure this out so we could book TV. But I don't know if I knew they were going to be maxing out the TV.
They maxed it out. Apparently 34 national games for the Sixers. I mean, listen, you got to do it. It might be his farewell tour.
Who are you putting on Christmas?
The Sixers play the Sixers. They're going to play each other. They just play each other.
I think it's got to be Celtics. Like, I think you throw the LeBron out, right? I actually find this to be a very interesting conversation. I actually think the Jaylen Brown verse returns to the Celtics storyline for a day can overtake LeBron James.
Okay.
It could be interesting. Otherwise it's Sixers-Knicks, Lakers.
I mean, it certainly matters, up there. It certainly matters up there. So, yeah, it'll be fun, but apparently they're going to max them out. I guess I couldn't expect anything different. I mean, milk it for what it's worth.
I was talking to Chris Foster, who does our audio before the show. I'm like, we need to start saying it like this, too. Like, Boston, you basically traded Jaylen Brown and LeBron James for Paul George. Like, that's kind of how this ended up working out. So you better take care of business this year.
Well, for those that are worried about load management, that's at least 34 games that LeBron's going to play. So there you go. There's 34 games.
Mark your calendars now.
At the very least. Now joining us here on the guest line, Greg Peterson. You know him. You love him. You see him every single day over on VSiN.com at GUnit_81. Over on the Twitter machine. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And We always love maxing out some people for TV and getting the maximum out of you, Matt. That is tremendous.
Oh, look at that, Greg Peterson. Flattery will get you everywhere, Gregory. So keep on with it, my friend. Let's get right into your first play here. I'm actually on this one just in a different fashion. I ended up playing the over in this one, but you are Merrill Kelly versus Mitch Keller here with the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. You're going to side with Keller here.
Yep, and I'm in on the over as well. So we are both simpatico on that as well. And for Mitch Keller, it's been a little bit of a rough year, 4.90 ERA, but the fielding dependent does point towards a little bit of positivity. He's giving up about 1.1 home runs per 9 innings. And for Merrill Kelly, there's not a lot pointing towards positivity here. Less than 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. ERA above a 5. He's giving up 1.9 home runs per 9 innings. So things have been all sorts of brutal there. And for the Diamondbacks, this is just not the same offense that they were a season ago as well. They are a team that's in the bottom half of the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home. But the Pirates, they average nearly 5.6 runs per game at home. Even with O'Neill Cruz being out for as long as he has been, they've been able to get these guys like Brian O'Hearn company going as well. Jake Magnum has been hitting like a 300. Pirates have been really good with that offense at home. Bullpen's a little bit shaky, but I think that they get to Merrill Kelly and get the job done here. So I like the over, and I do like the Buccos here on the money line.
All right, like it, Greg. Moving on down the board with you. One more side. You're looking at Nationals at home today against Scherzer and the Blue Jays.
Oh, for Max Scherzer, he should have probably retired after about a year or two ago. Like, I have no idea why he's currently on a big league mound. 10.29 ERA, oof. And he has not pitched in the last month and a half. Like, this is just rough, to say the least. He's giving up 3.7 home runs per 9 innings. I think that there was some sort of a strikeout milestone that they wanted him to get to, and I think that he got there, but hasn't really gotten a lot of strikeouts this year either. And for the Washington Nationals, they're number one in terms of run creation as well. Now, they did trade Curtis Mead away over the weekend, so that hurts them a little bit, but you still have C.J. Abrams, you still have James Wood, pair of guys with 25-plus homers, pair of guys that have been absolutely, Luis Garcia and company. All these guys have been absolutely tremendous for this team. So I think that the Nationals do a tremendous job in terms of getting to Max Scherzer and company. And for the Blue Jays, add to it, they're dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation. So getting the Nationals at minus 125, I'm in on the money line.
You know, maybe Max Scherzer's the data supermodel, because like Verlander hung him up and it's like, oh, but he's going home to Kate Upton. So maybe it's a little easier to hang them up if you're dating a supermodel. So maybe just for all athletes out there, it will be easier to retire maybe if you date a supermodel.
It kind of feels like a good strategy for anybody. Can achieve it.
This is true. It feels like a good strategy. You know what? Kids, grow up to date a supermodel. There you go. That's now your goal here as we move forward in life. All right, Greg. We got Martin Perez versus Zach Thornton. By the way, don't put an H on the end of Zach. He wants to get rid of that H on there. It is the Braves and the Mets. How are you looking at this one?
Zach with a C on the back half of it, and I see an over here. Because with Martin Perez, he's not really getting a lot of strikeouts. 6.9 strikeouts per 9 innings, but neither is Zach Thornton. It's been a nice small sample size for him. He's made 4 appearances, about a 1.91 ERA, but 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Going up against Braves team that's in the top 5 in the big leagues in terms of run creation away from home, just a little bit below 5 runs per game away from home. Drake Baldwin has really picked it up, by the way, ever since the All-Star break. Had a little bit of a rough go of it when he was coming off the injury list initially. He's back to being at full force. And for the Atlanta Braves, I do like them here on the money line as well, because with the New York Mets, want to talk about a team that's floundering right now and has been all season long. That'd be the New York Mets, but for the Atlanta Braves, I do think that they give up some runs here with Martin Perez, even with Juan Soto out. Like, with Juan Soto out, that makes it a roll of the dice with this New York Mets lineup, but they have been able to get back Francisco Lindor. Carson Bench has been able to give you a bit more as well. And we're noticing that the Mets are starting to toilet bowl with that bullpen as well. So, like the over of 8 and the Braves here on the money line.
Okay, like it, Greg. Moving on, we've got Yankees and White Sox. Freed on mound for the Yankees. They're be about minus 145 favorites heading into Chicago tonight. White Sox about plus 125 to plus 130 on the comeback here. Total set 8.5. Where are you looking on this game tonight?
And I do love fading these teams coming off of Sunday Night Baseball. Couldn't quite do it with the Phillies because the Miami Marlins have quite literally won as many games as the three of us since the All-Star break. That would be 0, but that said, I was able to do so here with the Chicago White Sox. and I like the under. Max Fried actually looked really good in his first start coming off the injury list. Gives up one hit, five shutout innings against the Pirates, so you love that. But what you don't love for the New York Yankees is over the last 30 games, they're averaging about 3.3 runs per game. Like, they are really missing Aaron Judge right now. Ben Rice has been good. Ben Rice has been able to give you home runs, and Paul Goldschmidt seems to be picking it up a little bit. But these mix and match guys like Yasan Dominguez and company that I was very excited about, well, they are not rewarding that excitement right now. And for the Chicago White Sox, bullpen has actually been much improved. Since June 1st, they've been a top 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Yankees have actually been number one in that time span. Like, the Yankees have been tremendous with their bullpen. Fully recognize that they had to utilize quite a few arms because Will Warren did not give the start that we were all desiring on Sunday Night Baseball. But that said, I do like the under here, and I went with the Sunday Night fade. I'm going with the White Sox on the money line.
Look at that. Backing Schultz, despite the fact that he has looked about like me trying to pitch left-handed since he's been out. Listen, he's a big prospect. He might be able to right the ship here. So, Greg, before you came on, I want to let you know, we got some Texas Roadhouse slander in here.
Yeah, we did.
Small criticism, which was the food was great. Okay, never. The food was great, but 10-plus baseball games are on, and Texas Roadhouse didn't have a single one of the bar TVs on any of the baseball games. Greg, how can you let this happen? You with the inside, like, you have got to track to talk to these people. You corporate knows who Greg Peterson is. How are you not saying, guys, we got to have the baseball games on?
I do not know what location this was at. Like, how do I correct the problem if I don't know what location this is at? Because he mentioned it. Texas Roadhouse has hundreds and hundreds of them. If I knew what one it was, I would put in there a polite reminder being like, hey, Texas Roadhouse, we all love our sports here. Let's make sure we get the baseball games on. And if you can't get the baseball games on, get on the Baseball Betting Show where we find podcasts to be able to help to get people on.
Man, look at that plug. Go. Look at that like plug. It. Man, it has been, well, you know, done, Mike Greg. Palm has been coming on VSiN for I don't know how many years now and talking about active content management and how important it is. It does pain me when I see things like that, right? Well, it doesn't matter if you're at the gym, at a sports bar. You can't just have TVs. You got to have TVs and be changing them. You have to be changing them. You can't just put them on one channel all day and let it go.
The onus falls on the manager. Like, the manager needs to have that as just part of their checklist.
Right.
Which is like every hour on the hour, just look up at the TVs and make sure there's something on. Yeah. Like, that's all there is.
And if you have a go-getter like Rob Moreno, who's just going to do it himself at a Chili's, like, good for him. But that, you know, it's got to be on the manager. It's got to be on the manager. Greg, real quick, I want to ask you about the running challenges. These have gotten out of control, by the way. I literally watched a video of you run 12 miles in your apartment last week. I need to know how this got started. How do people submit ideas for you?
Absolutely. Well, I've done 12 plus miles a day every day for 3,000 days. I've talked about this on this fine program. It's something that I started out of, honestly, necessity when I was in Portland, Oregon. I had to jog to and from work in order to be able to get around because it saved me money on the bus pass. I don't forget where I came from, so I keep on running every single day. If you have a challenge for me, at GUnit_81 on social media, Twitter/X, TikTok, I actually do these challenges as well. Like, the good people at home made me listen to country music on my jog yesterday. That was one of the most difficult challenges ever. Modern day country music, not for me. Jogging is for me, though.
3,000 days of 12. If you're wondering, that's you can do the math there. It's 36,000 miles. Your lease is up. You gotta trade it in, buddy. I mean, that's 36,000 miles. Let's look at Greg doing this.
A lot of LeBron talk, man. LeBron James has not done that. He's not done that.
Yeah, this is true. You know what? Every single athlete that we've talked about today is not done.
Has not done what Greg Peterson has done.
So.
Yep.
I will tell you this, you're about to get some weird requests because I'm going to make sure that gets done.
Me and Kelly. He ran 12 miles in his apartment.
Me and Kelly are about to get weird, like, over the next few days. We're going to send you something that'll be amazing. Greg, appreciate the time, buddy, as always.
Always fun. Thank you, guys.
When we come back, the AFC West, we get the big news that, yes, Patrick Mahomes is good to go. What does that mean from their betting odds?
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along here, Monday edition of A Numbers Game. Matt Brown, Kelly Bidlin, Adam Burke still on the desk with us here for another one. We were sitting here talking on break, and Guys, I think we might have talked ourselves into a couple of long shot bets here over in the National League MVP. Shohei Ohtani currently minus 220, but there are some, you know, really long shot guys that it is not out of the realm of possibility for them to get home. And we were talking about the Miz, and Adam did a little bit of quick research on break. And Adam, you found like a very comparable season to what Clayton Kershaw had as MVP and possibly could top the season that Clayton Kershaw had.
So it's, I'm not going to say it's impossible for a pitcher to win MVP. Shohei Ohtani is the last pitcher the last three times to do it, but also you know, he's a two-way player and a unicorn. Clayton Kershaw, 2014, 21-3 record. Mizorowski's not going to get to 21 wins, I don't think, but I don't think he has to. 1.77 ERA for Kershaw, 239 strikeouts and 198 and a third innings pitched. Mizorowski has 180, 185 in 120 innings. Prior to that, Justin Verlander, 251 innings back in 2011, 250 strikeouts, 24-5. We'll never see a record again. But Mizorowski, if he continues on the pace he's on now, he has comparable enough statistics to Kershaw in 2014, Verlander 2011 to win MVP. And if it's not Ohtani, if Ohtani misses a month or whatever, right? I mean, who's it going to be? Because James Wood is up there at 28-1. If the Nationals don't make the playoffs, he doesn't win MVP.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with CJ Abrams at 100-1. Like Mizorowski, if you want to gamble on the health, I think MVP is the way to do it.
Yeah, it's super, super interesting. Yeah, and again, I know people are going to talk about PCA. The only reason we're skipping over him, remember, PCA had a monster first half last year as well and then completely collapsed in the second half. So can he keep it up? If he does, sure. If it's not Shohei, it'd probably be him. But we are, look, we're talking about putting in lottery tickets here that could end up monetizing. So could be interesting. Glad to have Adam on the desk here. Reminder, by the way, we do have the NFL betting guide already out over at VSiN.com. We are coming out with a college football betting guide. We are going to update the NFL betting guide as well. You can get all of that for everything that we do now until the end of the Super Bowl for $175. So go in VSiN.com/subscribe right now for everything over at VSiN.com. So Adam, real quick on the NFL betting guide side of things, when are we getting the update there on that thing? It'll be the end of training camp. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, Monday, August 31st.
Okay.
So what is that? 5 weeks from today, 4 weeks from today, something like that. So we'll get that out on Monday, August 31st. You know, that's a post preseason look where are there some significant injuries, right, that we need to think about and account for. And really, I think the biggest thing with the updated NFL guide, the 2.0, the refresh, whatever you want to call it, is that when we put out our first NFL guide in June, we have some futures thoughts and all those kinds of things, but our hosts and our writers and contributors are really dialed in on the NFL by that point. So you're going to get a lot of best bets, you know, in that updated NFL betting guide. So that'll come your way Monday, August 31st. And we're a week away from the college football betting guide, Monday, August 3rd. So very excited to have that one out 7 days. Well, basically 6 days from now. Usually we get them out kind of the night before and have them posted and everything like that. So that one will be ready for you next Monday.
Yeah, as Matt often says, the most helpful betting guide out there for myself and he. I could at least tell you that. And you know what, Adam? I think I was more helpful with the college football betting guide this year than Matt Brown, because I heard he just wrote LSU in for the answer for everything.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm going to change my answers.
I might leave it like that just for the fun of it. Just like sometimes when Paulie Howard sends in his picks, we just leave them in all caps just to be on brand with him. But look, I will say this. Not only the most important guide, I think, for a lot of our hosts, but also the most important guide for our VSiN Pro subscribers, right? I mean, the college basketball guide is bigger, but certainly not as big of a sport as college football is from a betting standpoint. Sorry, Greg Peterson. this was a really important one because there's so much movement in the transfer portal. I mean, it's ridiculous nowadays how many guys transfer multiple times. Then you got 35 new head coaches this year, a couple guys with the interim tag stripped off, a lot of new coordinators, teams in different conferences. I mean, Sacramento State is playing in the MAC. Northern Illinois is playing in the Mountain West. Like, things that make no sense whatsoever, but they're happening this season.
Yeah.
Texas State in the Pac-12. All of these things are really important to know as you head into the season. And also, there's a lot more uncertainty, right? I mean, the NFL market, everybody knows all the players. Everybody knows all the teams. The sports books have a good idea from all their, you know, futures exposure in the summer, stuff like that. College football is a much higher variance environment early on. So if you can have some edges and some advantages, personally for me, especially in the group of six conferences, I think you can make a lot of good money early on in the college football season. And this guide will set you up for the possibility to do that.
Very interested in a lot of people's Heisman opinions as well. If we look at the top of the board, it's going to be the names that you've heard that might go at the top of the NFL draft. Your CJ Carrs and Arch Mannings and Dante Moores and stuff. That being said, we see this with the Heisman Trophy more times than you want to even think about, which is guys kind of coming out of nowhere and playing themselves into position here. And there are a lot of different guys, and I'm not, not a talent evaluator, but I do listen to these dudes that are talking about guys that could play their way into the discussion to potentially be a top five pick, maybe even be a number one overall pick. Remember, Fernando Mendoza came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. Like, these are dudes that were like day two, day three picks that played their way into the top of the draft and certainly into the Heisman Trophy discussion. So you start to look a little bit further down the board, and I will be interested to see what people think of your Sam Levitts and your, you know, Jaden Maiavas, and then your crazier, longer shot guys than even that, Mestemaker, and all these guys that could honestly play their way into a discussion of being a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. And with that, also get yourself into the Heisman discussion.
Yeah. And so Zachary Cohen is the one who did our Heisman article for the College Football Betting Guide. It is done. Obviously, we just need to get it in the guide. But a couple of interesting notes from him here, one of them being that the preseason favorite hasn't won the Heisman since 2014. Mm-hmm. So that adds a lot of credence to what you were saying, right? And this year you look at it, and I mean, if Notre Dame doesn't go 12-0 in the regular season, it's a disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, their schedule is bad. I have them an 8.5-point favorite over everybody this season, or at least higher than that, which includes the game against Miami. Mm-hmm. So yeah, CJ Carr makes sense, right? I mean, you go 12-0, you're the quarterback of a 12-0 team. Like, you know, it's hard for people not to vote for you, but again, the favorite usually doesn't win this thing. Like you said, it's somebody who kind of comes out of nowhere. The Atlanta quarterback or the Alabama quarterback battle is a really big one, right? If Keelan Russell ends up getting it, there's probably good value on him at 28-1. Austin Mack is 65-1 if he ends up playing a lot. The one guy that I kind of think is interesting, and I don't know how this is going to work out, but I think this is kind of the dart throw that I would take, would be Byron Brown at Auburn at 50-1, right? He's got a bunch of his USF guys with him. He's got his head coach in Alex Golish. The defense is good at Auburn year in and year out. They kept the same coordinators. So, like, if this offense is good, the defense should be good. This could be a 10-win type of team where Brown's a legitimate dual-threat guy.
Yeah.
So maybe he's a guy that you could kind of take a look at 50-1. But, yeah, I mean, look, again, it's maybe somebody who's not even a starter right now.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of other names that just, again, are kind of showing up in some people's mock drafts. And these are just to put on your radar in case you like to build a portfolio of long shots. Remember DJ Lagway? Remember him? He's at Baylor now. And so he is a guy that is, again, they're talking about if he could ever live up to the talent of the physical abilities and things like that, he's like 100-1 to win. You have Lenore Sellers at South Carolina, another guy who's I've seen as high as drafted in the top 10 in some of the mocks and things. Again, got to live up to the physical talents and all of that, but he's out at 45-50-1, something like that for the Heisman. So these are, if you like to build those kind of long shot portfolios, there are dudes that, at least the physical ability is there. They just got to show it on the field.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, it's very difficult early on in the season because these rosters are effectively brand new at a lot of these schools, right? So it's just a matter of who's going to gel the quickest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen transfer quarterbacks do really, really, really well in terms of the Heisman, in terms of winning national championships, stuff like that. So, you know, those guys seem to be fitting in very, very quickly with their new teams. And maybe it's just because they're older guys and have played a lot of college football. I guess it's going to be one of the reasons why Darian Mensah is super attractive to people at 12-1. Not to mention, Miami's an odds-on favorite to win the ACC. I personally like Clemson at 14-1. So maybe Chris Vezina, their quarterback, at 125-1 for Heisman. Like, not the worst dart throw in the world with Chad Morris. Now back there is the OC. So, yeah, there are a lot of things that you can kind of start formulating in your mind here, looking at some of the long shots, even though, if Notre Dame goes 12-0, like CJ Carr should win it.
Well, can you whittle it down even more? I think there's you got a couple talented wide receivers on that first page, too. Are you only looking quarterback at this point in the season?
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the NFL MVP where it's basically quarterback or bust.
Especially considering the crop that we have this year as well. It's just, I just don't know. I don't know how one of these dudes doesn't just light it up so incredible.
And I think another guy who's going to get a lot of love here, and throwing another shout out to Zach, who wrote the Big 12 up for our college football betting guide, Connor Wegman at Houston. A lot of people are looking at Houston as a team that could actually win the Big 12 this year. Their schedule is very, very soft. A lot of returning production. Willie Fritz is a good head coach. Connor Wegman's a guy that I think is going to start to get some love early on in the season. And that's another thing, too, that you got to keep in mind. Like, the time that you want to go in and fire on these guys, right?
Yeah.
Like somebody with a super, super soft schedule early on is going to put up numbers. Somebody who has a brutal first weekend game, that's a coin flip, something like that, they lose that game, all of a sudden their price is shooting up. So that's something you want to keep in mind too. The market entry point for the Heisman, for any kind of future, is critically important.
Adam and his team doing yeoman's work over there on VSiN.com. So go in right now. 175, everything we do now through the Super Bowl. That includes the already published NFL betting guide that we will update at the end of training camp. And, of course, the soon-to-come college football betting guide as well. Adam, appreciate the time, buddy, as yes, always. Sir. And you and the guys, keep it up over there at VSiN.com.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Monday, a numbers game. Matt Brown in for Gil. Kelly Bidlin on the desk. A guy we were just talking about, Daniel Jones, sitting here chopping it up with McAfee. He's probably saying, I've never felt better. You know what they say.
He looks great, man.
They never feel bad. They never look bad. He's in the best shape of his life. I'm coming back. I'm 110%. Like everybody, always.
I always like you've brought this up before. The best example really is fight camps.
Yeah.
How's your fighter looking? That's terrible.
That's why it was so refreshing the other day. I was like, certainly I'm reading this wrong. Where Tyreek Hill was like, my leg just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like whatever. I'm like, no one says that. Like, no one is honest about their rehab when it's going poorly. And he's just like, my leg just doesn't work at all.
Yeah, that was a little spooky, though. I have no power in my leg whatsoever. Like, okay, that doesn't sound ideal. Yeah.
His agent's going, what are you doing? Shut up.
Yeah.
Come on, man. We could have gotten one more contract out of this thing, but instead he's like, no, my left leg doesn't work. I was like, that's done. Your career's over, buddy. Oof. That's all there is. Now joining us on the guest line, kind enough as he's taking a little respite there, Tom Byrne. You can find him over on Mad Dog Sports Radio at One Tom Byrne on the Twitter machine. Tom, appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Little beach time, but it's hot. I'm also, betting some tennis. I got to make sure that Tabilo, you want to do the names for me, Kelly? I know you're great at that.
Cabillo, right? I could see that one in front of my eyes. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, Tom, we're going to obviously start here with LeBron and the 76ers thing. And I guess first off, when you were kind of handicapping where you thought LeBron was going to end up, where did the Sixers kind of fall on the pecking order for you?
Not at the top. I had Cleveland for months. I do wonder if they had not moved Darius Garland, who's a clutch character. I mean, the bottom line is, I don't know that he wants to play with James Harden. And we could all say what we want about Harden. He's a top 50, at worst, 75 player in history of the sport, not even debatable. LeBron doesn't want it out there that he doesn't want to play with him. But I got to wonder if that's one of the reasons he's not in Cleveland. Miami was always a clunky fit. You're not winning anything there. But the one thing I appreciate about this decision, and I was shocked to answer your question, is he is inviting all the pressure because he has built up zero equity in Philadelphia. Okay, he loses in Miami, no big deal. He brought them two chips. You lose even in Cleveland. He delivered the first for that town in 51 years, the homegrown son coming back. He hasn't built up anything in Philly. Philly's had plenty of superstars. The Sixers have had five of the top 25 players in the history of the sport. So he actually has to do a little something in Philadelphia. He would not have to do, in theory, in Cleveland or Miami. So it works both ways. A lot of people are saying he's chasing another ring. Absolutely. But at the same time, he is inviting more pressure in doing so.
Yeah, Tom, this is I think Philadelphia has made this more fascinating for me to continue to talk about than I thought it was going to be wherever LeBron decided on where he'd go. I think the one I keep thinking about for the past few days, biggest loser for you in all of this, team, player, anything? Is there anybody who jumps to mind? Because I think there's probably a few candidates you could go with here.
I would probably say Cleveland again. I think if they would have just held down the fort and kept Garland, maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my suspicion. You know, they went all in on a team that you cannot trust. That was their biggest issue. Two soft bigs, they've told us. They're not great at the big spot. The backcourt, your turn, my turn. They bring in James Harden, of all people. that didn't make sense to rectify the situation. And I'm not a Harden hater at all, but it makes sense for him to go home. I think he was touched by the standing ovation that Bronny got when he went back to Cleveland this past year. Maybe I'm dead wrong, but I do think the biggest loser's got to be Cleveland. Miami, but, you know, they did get Giannis at least. They're not winning a championship, though, so they're still a loser if you consider the LeBron situation, where it appeared for about 48 hours, if you looked at the Kalshier Polymarket numbers, that he was going to be a member of Miami Heat.
Tom, whenever we take a look at the Sixers, I think even without LeBron, we were going to be talking about them as potential title contenders, but you add LeBron in there. Where do they fall now in your eyes as far as, you know, getting it done and getting over the hump?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. Listen, you can't bet any futures Philly-related right now. You missed the boat, quite obviously. I think if you're a modeler, you know, you're not going to be blown away. I mean, the bottom line is we know the Celtics have told us a million times that Jaylen Brown is not quite as good as people think. They told us that by what they accepted in the trade. And now we're hearing all this about, he's not an efficient player, which is true. If you look at Darko estimated plus minus predictive metrics, they think it's laughable, those metrics, that he was even in the equation for an MVP, and they do, in fact, like Derek White better. Now, take that for what it's worth. By the way, speaking of those metrics, LeBron James' spread value was about 68 last year. Now, those numbers could change based on circumstance, obviously. But Nick Nurse has his hand pretty full, okay, because the bottom line is Jaylen Brown's favorite season was the season where he got to have the highest usage rate. He could be fourth in line some nights, so I love the talent, and I get it's the NBA. It typically does come down to talent. But the fit still needs to be decided. Who's sacrificing? Who's the Chris Bosh on the Sixers? You can't be running to take any Sixers futures. As a fan, I can't wait. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not looking to open a sports book. At this point, you missed the boat.
Yeah, Tom, I think I'm right there with you. I think I will wait and see on this team a little bit. I do think they belong right at the top, but how's it all going to work? It's going to be fun to watch. I think we've had this whole arms race in the Eastern Conference with a lot of these teams adding. We've just had win totals come out most places here over like the past week or so. I made a couple bets. Is there anybody in the East that, Matt and I were talking about earlier, caution just any over that you're going to go bet, because I think there's a lot of teams that are going to make significant improvements. Any teams in the East that you're maybe looking to fade, go against this year, where an under on the win total would make sense?
Yeah, it's a great question. Now, full disclosure, World Cup, now looking into the NFL, college football, doing a lot of extra tennis, which I haven't done in the past. I have not done as much of this as I typically would at this point, but that's a great question. One team that would stick out a little bit to me right out of the chute would be Detroit. Now, I'd have to see what that number looks like.
50.5.
They have not had a great offseason. You understand that part of it. I think everybody does. We know their number is not going to be too high, relatively speaking, but that's a team that's obviously a regression candidate. I thought they played a little over their head, and they'll probably still be a regular season warrior this year to an extent. But that would be one team I would have circled, if you will, to maybe be looking at an under.
Tom, let's take a shift here to the NFL. This is the time of year where I think a lot of people start looking in that direction. Certainly people in our business, as we're coming down to the stretch here in baseball season. And of course, we're starting to get the training camp footage and all that. We get the juices get flowing with all of that. As you kind of look here early on, is there a team that has really piqued your interest above all else?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I'll tell you right out of the chute, it's not going to be the Bengals. I mean, it's getting a little too trendy right now with the Cincinnati love. I think it's a little over the top. I, too, love Burrow. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's been a little overrated over the years. I mean, they have awful defenses. I love the offense, and I think you're a big fan, Matt. Are you not? Don't get me wrong. I like Burrow. But, you know, considering the rest of the roster, and they're stacked at some fun fantasy-type positions, but I can't run to take the Bengals at anything less than 20-1, and I don't think you could even find better than that at this point. So I guess to answer your question, you know, I would look a little further down the board. I don't trust Herbert. I know some people will go there. You know, Chiefs are a little bit more viable than they've ever been. I would look a little further down to a couple NFCs. I'd look at Detroit and Philly. I think Philly's been a little disrespected, especially at the quarterback position. Maybe I'm being a homer. Jalen Hurts wins a lot of big games. You could say what you want. I think A.J. Brown is pretty much addition by subtraction at this point. I expect the defense to be a little bit more stout. I like the Eagles and some of the prices you get on them. And I would even go to fighting Dan Campbell's. You know, look, at some point, Detroit's going to have to show that the window's not closed. We're all down on them after last season. I understand that. Watch them have a little bit of a bounce back when maybe you're not expecting it, because they seem to be a little down the line, obviously, in the NFC pantheon if you look at some of the prices. So those are two teams with not long prices necessarily, but still a decent return that I'm circling here early and have some interest in.
Tom, there's a lot of big names at the top of the MVP board. Burrow, you kind of just talked about a little bit. Is there anybody that you'd look to make a bet, maybe a longer shot bet on at this point in the season, or is this going to be a hold firm as you head into the season?
Oh, that's a good one. The MVP market is interesting. Again, you know, let me look at some of those markets, some of the numbers I could get. But, you know, look, Lamar, Josh Allen, I mean, they're going to be so short. You probably want to look a little further down the board. Is there somebody who's going to stick out a little bit more than anybody else, plays the quarterback position? I think he'd be nuts to go Drake May. I've heard a little bit of that. I don't buy no Gill. Cover your ears. He has Jaden Daniels already in the Hall of Fame with the bust already done. I'm not going Daniels. I still think he's got a little bit more something to prove. You know, it's a great question. No, I'll go right back to Detroit. I didn't realize even before the interview I was this into Detroit, but now you got me thinking a little bit. I'll take Jared Goff. You know, when Jared Goff, you've heard this a million times, is inside on that turf, man. There aren't many people who could be more efficient. I still think they have enough around them offensively. I know people were a little down on the play calling situation last year. I think that'll be rectified to an extent this year. I think the numbers are always going to be there for Goff. Fast track, what the hell? I'd have to look at exactly where I could get that number, but last I checked, it's at least playable.
Yeah, 35-1 over at DraftKings.
There we go. Okay. Look at that.
Yeah, it's playable.
He is Tom Byrne. Find him over on Mad Dog Sports Radio. One Tom Byrne over on the Twitter machine. Get you some rest and relaxation there, buddy. Appreciate you carving out some time for us.
Anytime, fellas. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
So there it is. It just said on the bottom of the screen there on the lower third, Daniel Jones. He is a full go. And we'll be back at training camp as a full go.
Good for him. Pretty incredible, man. Some of the
shoot these guys up with these days?
Medical advancements, man. It is
wild. I mean,
wild.
Everyone's back at camp. Everyone's a full go. Everyone's going to be as good as we've ever seen. So Daniel Jones, a full go there for the Colts in training camp. Unbelievable. Put a bow on this one when we come back.